head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with Anoush Sariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanter, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
All right, everybody, this is Rick Redding back with the Rusty Satellite Show. And are you ready, Louisville, for some football? This is the week. I tell you, Florida State is coming in town, and the town is putting out all the stops, I guess you would say. Just so you know, there's a lot of things going on with the game. ESPN's game day is coming in. A lot of people are very excited about that. A lot of speculation on who the celebrity picker is going to be. I don't know. Maybe I listen to too much talk radio and sports, but you know, the big hope that all these people have is that Jennifer Lawrence will be the Louisville celebrity that that goes on the show and picks them. If you've never seen the show, but anyway, that's going on. I tell you, a lot of things. Churchill Downs, the Twin Spires are lighted up red this week for the game, and there is so much going on. Louisville is now ranked 10th in the country. Who has become one of the leading candidates for the Heisman Trophy. Lamar Jackson faces his biggest test. And Florida State, you know, they're ranked number two in the country. They have a freshman quarterback, and I just got a chance to watch. I learned a little bit about Florida State. Showtime is doing a season with sort of a special with Florida State football team, and Coach Jimbo Fisher and this freshman quarterback, his name I think is DeAndre something, and it's going to be interesting to see. Knowing a little bit about the Florida State team is kind of helpful in watching the game. So we're going to be out there tailgating probably around 9 a.m., believe it or not. The game starts at noon, and it's going to be a very exciting day in Louisville. So anyway, maybe we'll talk about football a little bit later in the show. But as you know, this is the show about the most interesting people in the Ville. Each week I interview two people. 167 shows. I'm bound to be into the 300-something people who have been on this show, and it's just a blast for me. I really appreciate everybody listening and downloading the podcast and watching for it on social media so you know what's going on. I've got a bunch of stuff to get to in the second part of the show. First up, I want to mention my sponsors who make this show possible. Very thankful to Passport Health Plan. If you go to the website, RustySatelliteShow.com or LouisvilleKY.com, you'll notice a new ad that Passport has provided us. And as you listen to their commercial, there's a new commercial in one of the breaks on this show. So thanks again to Passport for being a supporter of the show. And also thank you to Eye Care Institute down there on Story Avenue. I got to spend a little time with Mark Prussian, the president down there this week. And we went to the new restaurant, Fabaloo, down there in Butchertown near his Story Avenue offices. I did notice on their website at Eye Care Institute that they have a new thing, a Google tour. You can go and go on their website and look around the offices if you want to do that. But the main thing to remember is that Eye Care Institute is the place to go if you have any issues with your eyes, if you need regular exams or if you need contacts, glasses, even something more serious like LASIK. They're the best in town at taking care of giving you a LASIK exam and treatment. So there you go. All right, so who are my guests this week? I'm very excited to have finally gotten Allison Martin. She is the communications chief for Jefferson County Public School. That was a highly prized job in the communications, I guess, in the list of jobs in communications in this town. It was vacant for a while. They had a little controversy over the last occupant of that position, and finally hired Allison 9 months ago, and she is doing a great job. She's very busy. I really enjoyed going through their offices. She started a program that recognizes graduates of Jefferson County Public High Schools, and we talk about that a little bit. There's posters on the wall. I remember Alan Houston of Ballard, Jerry Abramson went to Seneca, and there's a number. I think each high school has a representative. She told me that Iroquois High was represented by Kim Hampton, a women's basketball player who made it to the WNBA. Maybe I was second. I don't know. Maybe. Possibly. But anyway, she's the first interview in the show. In the second part of the show, very interesting guy, Greg Byrne. You may remember that he used to be the guy on the field with the University of Louisville marching band during football games. He no longer has that job, but he is a percussion, I can't remember the exact title, but he's involved in the percussion groups at U of L in the music school. And very interesting that they've got a great event that I want to go to in Central Park coming up on September 25th, involving a lot of drumming. Let's just say that. It's a lot of drumming. But what a great facility. What a great place. The amphitheater there at Central Park in Old Louisville. Visited the Old Louisville Information Center, the Visitor Center there, and it is it's a fantastic place. I've been there twice for like ghost tours, and it's a really cool place, and that's going to be a great setting for this concert. So I urge you to stay tuned and listen to that, and also listen to all the stuff I have on my list of things to talk about after Allison's interview. I really enjoyed talking with Allison about Jefferson County Public Schools. As any of you knows me very well knows, I'm a big advocate of the public schools. My three sons have been through the public schools, and Nick and Josh both went to Manual. Luke went to Eastern. And very happy with my experience there. I'm thinking of all the money I saved by not sending them to private or parochial schools. It's really awesome. They've all done well. So I'm a big supporter, and so is Allison. It's an ideal job for her, as you'll hear in this interview that took place over at the Van Hoos Education Center in Allison's new office.
I had no use for health insurance, but my mom was always saying, "Sign up for Passport," and I was like, "Mom." She was like, "For my peace of mind." It got to be where I needed peace of mind, so I did. Now my mom, she can chill, and I feel pretty good about it too.
Together we can all feel better. Call 1-800-578-0603 and ask for Passport. That's 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan, working together for a healthier Kentucky.
All right, today the Rusty Satellite Show is in a building. I can't believe I've never been in this building, the Van Hoos Education Center. I'm with Allison Martin. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rick. It's great to have you here and good to see you. I'm glad you got to come visit us in person.
I know. It's something. This is an old building, isn't it?
It's been around a while. It is. I've only been in this office for 9 months, but this building has been here a whole lot longer than I have. And it's an interesting building because it's been added on to several times. So it has lots of twists and turns and different parts of the building, so it takes a while to get to know. But I'm excited. It's a nice office, and I have pretty windows where I can look out onto the Barrett playing field here. So
there
I'm enjoying it.
Well, I am very curious about. I know that this job you're in, which is officially communications director,
chief communications and community relations officer
for the Jefferson County Public Schools, and it seems like there's been less controversy around the office since you've been here. How do you like it?
Well, thank you. That's part of my job. I'm enjoying it. I'm really enjoying it. Something most people probably don't know about me is I really do have public education in my blood. Mm-hmm. My mother was a public school teacher. She taught middle school for 35 years. My grandfather was a principal, a beloved principal of Park City School in Park City, okay. Kentucky. And my father-in-law is a retired teacher from JCPS. My mother-in-law worked in adult education at JCPS. And my husband is a proud graduate of JCPS. And I have two JCPS students.
Wow.
So this is kind of like home for me.
It's kind of like home. And you were telling me one of those relatives taught when I was there at Iroquois High School.
That's right. And I'm going to call him immediately after this is over and find out what kind of student you were, Rick.
I have a reputation there, I'm sure, still.
I know you hang around Mark Hebert. I know.
But anyway, that was a long time ago. But the schools, of course, are a big topic in the news. It seems like every day or every other day there's something going on. You have to speak to the media. You have to deal with the media every day, good stories and bad stories. And you're telling me how busy it is.
It is right? Busy. Well, mm-hmm. Some people may not know if they're from different parts of the state who listen to this, as anyone can on the internet. Louisville, obviously, is the largest city in Kentucky. So we're kind of an anomaly when it comes to public school districts in Kentucky. We're by far the largest in the state, but also in this region. We're the 27th largest school district in the country. We have 100,700 students who come to school here every single day. 70,000 of them ride the bus every day. So we're responsible for transporting 70,000 kids to and from school safely every day. And we have 155 schools, close to 20,000 employees. So it is a vast organization. And so we work really hard on trying to get the good news out about our students, the great news about our students. You know, this week is National Merit Finalist. We have more National Merit Finalists than any school district in this state. And a fourth of the National Merit Scholars come from JCPS schools in the state of Kentucky. So we're proud of that.
Sure.
But then we also have, just by sheer volume and averages, we do have incidents that happen often, and we deal with those. And when the media calls, that's part of my job as well.
Okay, okay. Well, I certainly understand that, and like you, I've got a great history and connection to JCPS, and really,
we're going to get you on one of our I Am JCPS posters.
Yeah, I know.
Rick.
I need to be on one of
Absolutely.
Those. You probably don't have anybody from Iroquois.
We're getting ready to do an Iroquois. Yeah. I've got to ask Daniel who it is, but I know we have an Iroquois
okay.
in the works.
Well.
We'll put you on number two. Put you on number two.
There you go. There you go. But anyway, those are all good times. I wanted to ask you specifically, speaking of Iroquois, how you handle an incident like what happened last week when the police are involved. They found a gun on a kid at Iroquois, mm-hmm. and there was a similar incident at, I think, no, a week or less before that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you react when something like that comes to your attention? What are your first steps?
Well, first of all, I'm a mom. I'm a mom of two JCPS students. I have a middle school student and an elementary school student. So first, I react as a mom. I think about, what information do parents want to know? What information do we need to get out there immediately to the public? We want to let everybody know as soon as possible what we can in the information that we can provide. We want to be honest, open, transparent. And then I come at it from a communications perspective on how do we get that communicated? What avenues do we use? And also, I work with the principals. My job is to work with the principals and find out the information that they need in order to be able to respond appropriately and quickly, because our principals are responsible for educating kids. I'm responsible for talking with the press. So I, as you can tell, the press is calling right now.
Yeah,
it never
we'll,
stops.
We'll put those guys off for a
yeah,
little bit longer.
Yeah, we will. But what I do want to point out is our principals do a fantastic job. And when you have an incident like that, we have a great principal at Iroquois. That situation was handled phenomenally. We got a call immediately when it happened to let us know about it, to say, here's what happened, here's how we found it, here's the protocols we're using. And everything was handled by the book.
Mm-hmm.
And what's good about an incident like that, if you can find something good, is that a student came to us and let us know about that
right.
information. And so what we're seeing is more and more that we're having those conversations with our students, because we know when you look at the news that there are incidents of violence that are going on in this community and in the neighborhoods where our kids are from. So we have those conversations with our
yeah.
students, that what do you do if you have something that you see at school that you need to report to an administrator? How does that happen? And then what do we do when we take it from there? Because the worst thing that could possibly happen is one of our students comes forward and tells an adult and the adult doesn't do anything.
Sure.
We take every situation like that with the utmost caution.
Well, you know, as a parent, I'm concerned about it. I mean, I think you can compare it to like bugs, okay? If you see one, that means there's a bunch more that are hiding and you didn't see them. And you know, I don't know. Maybe kids are getting away with bringing guns to school. I hope not.
I don't think that's the case when it comes to our schools. I do know that when we find, you know, something like that within a school, many times we call in a sweep and do a sweep of the school, and
sure.
we don't find anything else.
Okay.
So what I do know is our students are really taking that obligation seriously to protect their schools. Our students are proud of their schools. They're proud of where they go to school, and they don't tolerate folks who do not want to treat that school and teachers with
yeah.
you know, just with respect. So we're finding that our kids are talking to us, and you have to create that kind of community and that environment where the student feels safe and feels safe coming to you if there is an issue, that they know you'll address it and take it seriously and protect all of the students in the building.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's change subjects just for a second, and let me ask you about the relationship between JCPS and the teachers. I had Brent McKim on the show about a month ago, and it seems like at that time the two sides on the new contract were kind of far apart, but you say that's close to getting resolved.
Yeah, we have a finalized contract that we sent out a press release on jointly with JCTA must have been right after you had Brent on the show, that the teachers were voting on. I think the voting ended September 9th, and so that will go to the board shortly for approval. I don't have what the JCTA vote is on that, but I expect from speaking with union representation that they expected it to pass. And so, you know, the relationship with Jefferson County Public Schools and teachers is our teachers are our most valuable asset. We're proud of our teachers. We're proud that we pay our teachers more than any district in Kentucky and most in the region. We want the best teachers in the state. We have the best teachers in the state, and we want to keep the best teachers in the state. And, you know, contract negotiations are never a fun time for any organization, but I have to say our teachers and all of our professionals have handled it with the utmost grace and confidence and making sure that we know what we're going to do best for our teachers and best for our students in our buildings.
Okay, okay. Great. Well, I want to ask you a little bit about your history, and you spent a lot of time in you spent some time in broadcast, you spent some time in politics, and now whatever this is, which is really politics, right?
Well, it's communications, and everything's political when you look at it. You worked in a newsroom. Newsroom of politics, right?
I think all offices maybe. You could say that. But, how is this? And now, for listeners that don't know, you worked with Jerry Abramson when he was mayor, and you worked for Jack Conway as attorney general. This has got to be a lot different than that kind of politics.
It is different, but I think, you know, I started my career in broadcasting. I'm from South Central Kentucky originally, for those people who, and most people do not know me. So I grew up in South Central Kentucky in Glasgow, Kentucky, and I went to Northwestern University outside of Chicago and majored in journalism. I came home and started my career in Bowling Green, Kentucky at WBKO. For all of the folks who went to Western, who watched WBKO and couldn't afford cable back then, you just had rabbit ears.
And all those fresh reporters who have zero experience.
Exactly. That was me. And I was anchoring the evening news at 24, 25 years old. And I came to work at WLKY in August of 1999, and I spent almost 7 years at WLKY. Loved it. Had a baby, and when the baby was a year old, I just knew career-wise I had to make a change with the hours and things like that.
Yeah, it's a tough business.
Yeah, and so I went to work for Jerry Abramson and was blessed enough to – he called up one day and asked if I'd like to come work for him, and I was – nervous about making the jump. I'd always wanted to be a broadcaster and always wanted to work in journalism.
Going over to the other side.
Yeah, but I was really fortunate because he is a phenomenal boss, and what a great person to learn the craft of communications from. And because he it was so important to him to communicate with people in Louisville and Jefferson County. And I worked as his deputy press secretary and just learned so much from him about public policy and the importance of communication. So that was just a great experience. And then I worked for Jack Conway as his communications director and chief of staff. So I worked 8 years in Frankfurt.
Yeah, and if I'm wrong, tell me. But, you know, that had to be tough because he was you weren't working on the campaign, but you were in the attorney general's office. And when he lost, I guess that was the end of the job.
That was the end of the job. And I have to say, when I made that jump from broadcasting to Mayor Abramson's office, that thread I was going to say is I was worried about going to the other side that I would not have that adrenaline rush, right? Because you know, all of us who've worked in news before, you have that adrenaline junkie, and I didn't want to go sit behind a desk. And so that was great when I worked in the city. I had that same busyness and always having something new and different every day. And I went to the Attorney General's office in January of 2008, and I spent 8 years there. And I had the great fortune of working for Jack Conway, who is so intelligent and what a great public servant and just a great grasp of the issues at hand and a great policy mind. I learned so much from him about looking at policy, how to dissect policy. And I went from thinking I was going to be moving possibly into the governor's office to looking for a job.
There you go.
And that's how life happens, doesn't it?
It is. Well, that's about all the time we got for this episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. But Allison, thank you for spending a little time with me in your busy day.
Thank you, Rick. It was great to see you. I'll see you at a Western game.
I'm Steve Coombs, and each week, Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
And I am back, and a big thank you to Allison Martin for having me over there at the Van Hoos Education Center to talk about Jefferson County Public Schools. She's doing a great job over there from everything I can tell, and it's a very challenging position, so that's all great. So I've got a lot to talk about here, and so let's just jump into it, just in the stuff that I've done this week. As you know, I, along with my partner Steve Coombs, we operate a podcast and a website called Eat, Drink, Talk, eatdrinktalk.net. And had a couple of big stories this week. I tell you, I got a chance to go to a soft opening at Pha Bailu. Pha Bailu is the new Vietnamese kitchen down there, the Vietnamese restaurant. It's right there on where Story Avenue turns into Main Street in Butchertown. I took Mark Prussian of iCare Institute down there with me, and boy, there was a who's who. You couldn't believe it. It was the biggest gathering of former Rusty Satellite Show guests I think I've ever seen. Mike Maloney with the mayor's office was there. I saw John Timmons from WPK over there. I saw, of course, I was with Mark, Andy Bleeden, who developed the property. He was there. It was just a fantastic crowd and a fantastic event. I tried Vietnamese food for the first time and really liked it. I had a noodle bowl, and it was my favorite taste of the week. It was one of the segments we have on the show, and I really hope that place does well. It's a wonderful setting out back. They've got this patio with bourbon barrels and trees and all kinds of stuff. A great little bar, and I met the managing partner, Jessica Mock. She is really a bundle of energy, and the food's good. So I think that place will do well. Meanwhile, Steve went over to the big news that got more attention on the same night was the opening of Guy Fieri. Steve keeps telling me how to pronounce that. I think it's Guy Fieri, something like that. But his smokehouse at 4th Street Live opened up, had an official event on Monday. Guy himself was there. You can hear Steve's interview with Guy on the Eat, Drink, Talk podcast that was just published. And it is a, you know, Steve came away with a much better opinion of Guy than he had going in, I guess. He's a celebrity chef, and he's a big deal, and it was great to have him in town, great to have him promoting our little city here. And so that was a lot of news. And the other thing we have on that podcast is Tony Palombino, who's been on the Rusty Satellite Show and is the operator of Tony Boomba's and Joe Ellis Chicken, came in to the studio, and we sort of had a co-hosting situation, and Tony talked about a lawsuit involving a negative review of Joella's that he believes, and all evidence points to the fact that it was done by a made-up character created by a rival chef. And it's an odd story, but we thought it was sort of really newsy, so we got the show on immediately, and it's a very interesting interview. I hope you'll download that Eat, Drink, Talk show just for that, or for Guy Fieri. They're both good. And I want to say something different here on the show. I want to put out an invitation. I really like the idea of doing the co-hosting. You know, Steve Coombs and I co-host the Eat, Drink, Talk show, and I had the idea of having some occasional co-host here on the Rusty Satellite Show. I've done it once or twice before, but 167 shows. I may be pretty good, but, you know, it would be nice to have somebody to bounce ideas off, talk about news stories. And so I'm putting this out there for you in the audience. Anybody that would like to co-host the show with me, get in touch with me. You can reach me at rick@louisvilleky.com or on Facebook at Rick Redding. I'd be glad to talk to you. I'm not going to promise you that just because you contact me that I'll have you as a co-host, but I would like to sort of make a move in a different, more positive direction here on the show. So I'm looking for some co-hosts. I got some people in mind I'm going to have on, and I haven't asked them yet, so don't say anything. No, really. you can say something. But anyway, that's one thing coming up on the Rusty Satellite Show I want to put out there. I'd love to hear from you if you're interested in coming on and hosting this segment of the show with me. So what else is going on? You know, a lot. It's still a lot. I tell you, this week I also went to Actors Theater and saw Dracula, which is their traditional annual show. It's always popular. It was a packed house the night I went, and the show is spectacular as always. Even though you know what's coming, it's still a great show to go to. So if you if you're a theater buff or if you just like Dracula, go down and see that one. Another thing I did this week, I played in the Gaslight Festival Golf Scramble at Wildwood Country Club on Monday, and that was a blast. It's the start of the Gaslight Festival, and this weekend, of course, is when you can go down to the Street Fest. That's the most popular part of the Gaslight Festival. It's about a quarter mile from my house. You can stroll on over, I guess, or stumble on over if you have too much fun over there at the Gaslight Festival. I know I'm going to be there Saturday night after the football game, and you know that it is a phenomenal festival. The Street Fest, it is like the second largest festival in the state behind the Kentucky Derby Festival, there's a lot of other events over there in J-Town at the Gaslight Festival. So that's going on this weekend, and there's just so much. There's so much to do. One other thing I'd like to mention, especially because just a few weeks ago, Melissa Swan was my guest on this show. Melissa is gave her a speech at the Breakfast of Champions at the University Club on Tuesday morning, and she was excellent. She was very well prepared and told a great story and had a great message for the people there. And everybody that I talked to that went to the event really was impressed with Melissa's talk. And it's going to be interesting to find out what she does. Now, I did ask her if she about what some other things she's doing. She's talking about a couple of TV projects, some independent TV projects, and is not ruled out coming back to TV. She has a one-year sort of no-compete that she can't go to another station. She can never go back. She said she can never go back to WHS because of the early retirement offer she got. But after the no-compete is over, after a year, she can go and work at another station. She said she would never go back into the routine of doing the nightly news every single night and all that, but she'd be open to offers. And I'm going to be interested to see how Melissa does. She has started a business and doing public speaking, and I think she'll be good at that. So we'll see. But it was a blast. The next Breakfast of Champions is November, the second Tuesday of November, just after the election, and we're going to have political cartoonist from the Courier-Journal, Mark Murphy, who's been on this show before, as our speaker then. I think that will be a big draw, no matter how the election comes out. And Mark is very outspoken about politics, and really looking forward to having him speak to our group. You can go to those. Yes, you can. All right. I want to mention one other thing that I wasn't involved in, but it's near and dear to my heart. There was a big announcement and celebration this week at Iroquois Park, where the Overlook reopened after a $1.4 million renovation. It's a really great place. If you've never been up there and seen the view from the top of Iroquois Park, It's outstanding, and they've got it set up now with security up there. The problem they had in the past was it was such a remote place. A lot of people went up there and did graffiti and all that. Well, they're going to have security cameras, all that stuff. And now the new rules are that cars can go up there on Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays. But if you want to go up there and not have to deal with automobiles, you can go on any other day of the week. And it's a great walk, uphill. It is uphill, but it's a walk uphill at Iroquois Park. I spent a lot of my childhood there, and it's really great to see that's going on. Let's be serious. What are we all thinking about this week? It's all about Florida State and Louisville football. Yeah, I heard one of the ESPN 680 is doing a 24-hour pregame show. I kid you not. People are really nuts about this game. 24 hours of those guys talking about the game, and you'd think they'd run out of things to talk about, but it hasn't happened. I was listening today. They were interviewing some of the guys like Desmond Howard on the who is on the ESPN Game Day broadcast, and it's just you almost can't get too much coverage of this event. Overshadowed by this weekend is the opening of the September meet at Churchill Downs, and they were supposed to race post time at 12:45 on Saturday. The game's at noon, so Churchill Downs has pushed its post time of the first race back to 2:30. 2:30 is when racing starts at Churchill Downs. It's right across the street from the stadium. It should be a really wild scene over there. I'm hopeful that the Cards can prevail this time. They've had trouble with Florida State in the past and have lost the last 2 years, but came very close to beating them. I remember 2 years ago when I was here, and if Lamar Jackson gets off and has another great game, it's going to be all downhill, I think. Though the Cards still, as you know, have to play Clemson in a couple of weeks, and so we can't get too haughty if we do pull off this win, but it could propel the Cardinals into the top five in the nation, which would really be something for this this football program that's surging. While our buddies down the street at UK, I've talked to a bunch of UK fans this week, and they're resigned to their fate. They know that they got a problem there, and most people I talk to really want to get rid of the football coach, Mark Stoops. So maybe they can get by New Mexico State this week. Let's hope for Stoops' mental health that they win that game, right? They're a big favorite in that game. I think the line on the UofL-Florida State game is like 2.5 points, and so that's pretty close. It's going to be a very the eyes of the nation, the football nation, will be on Louisville on Saturday at noon at the stadium. So anyway, a guy who used to be involved in the on-field preparation and on the on-field show was a guy named Greg Byrne. He is my next guest. He used to be director of the University of Louisville Marching Band, and now he is still involved in music, still involved in percussion at the University of Louisville and the School of Music. But he has a number of great projects, and I was really thankful that I have this show because I get to meet people like him. He's a very interesting guy. He was previously at Auburn University and has a fascinating background, which we get into in the interview. I encourage you to stay tuned, listen to the whole thing, and I'll be back to wrap up the show right after this interview with Greg Byrne.
Hey, I'm Dan Vonderhyde.
I'm Stephanie White.
We host a weekly podcast called
40-ish.
It's a show about life at middle age.
I'm not 40 yet.
Well, you're getting there eventually.
I guess.
So each week we talk about something that applies to the life of a middle-aged person. We drop a little bit of wisdom in every episode, and we go out and talk to people about their experiences.
And we laugh.
And we laugh a lot. It comes out every Tuesday. Make sure you download.
Tune in.
And today the Rusty Satellite Show is in Central Park at this beautiful amphitheater, and I'm with Greg Byrne. Greg, welcome to the show.
Rusty, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's really something. We're doing this week because I know you're not director of the marching band at UofL anymore, but boy, this is a big week for football around here.
Absolutely, it
and
is.
A big week for football is a big week for the band, right?
Well, any week is a big week for football around here, I believe, and you're right about the band. They're already geared up for it. Right, I wore that hat years ago as the marching band director, and I see the excitement still on campus. I work with the drummers.
Okay.
And they're already thinking about Friday and Saturday because they got some events lined up for that. And I was here years ago when the first Florida State game happened, we won. And
sort of the Monsoon Bowl.
Exactly. I threw all my clothes away after that game because I was soaked, but it was a memorable experience.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that and the football on Saturday. But we're here to talk about what you're doing here at Central Park, which is very exciting. Tell me a little bit about the show that's planned and what's going to happen.
Absolutely. Well, we're calling this show the Pan Jam. And we call it that because our steel drum group will be out here as kind of a main attraction. These are all students from the UofL. So we're bringing out different groups, a Brazilian drumming group, our steel drum group. That plays music of the Caribbean, West African drumming. And part of that is we want the audience to participate. We're going to start this program with what we call a drum circle. Okay, so we're going to, that's another reason why we call it Pan Jam, because we're just going to jam out. Our drummers are going to play on different drums, and we want the audience. You hear that plane coming by? That's what it's like at the marching band field. But we're going to play our drums and jam out on a rhythm, and we want audience to bring anything they want. They can bring a drum, they can bring a cowbell, they can bring their hands, and to play along with us.
I got a bucket at home. Can I bring that?
Absolutely. I'm sure we'll see a lot of buckets. Some of these things go on for days in other areas, but we're just going to kind of keep it short and get the idea across. But we want audience interaction. So our group will be there. We're going to Pan Jam and kind of tracing roots of rhythm, starting with rhythms from Africa and down into Cuba and into Brazil and into the Caribbean. Wow. But you mentioned buckets. Ja'Cory Arthur and the Junkyard Hawks from Hyde Elementary will be joining us.
Okay.
They'll be bringing their buckets, so a bucket won't be out of place.
Okay. Well, our listeners are familiar with Ja'Cory. He was on the show, and what a great guy he is in the music.
Incredible.
Industry in this town.
Yeah.
And tell me a little bit of your history. I know he was he a student of yours?
He was. I remember when he walked in the School of Music and for his audition. I remember that audition very well. And we've grown very close together over those years. Okay. I'm very proud of him. He was a student of mine, but he was a student of all, you know. And now I'm learning from him.
Yeah, well, he seems to be really his popularity seems to be taking off quite a bit. I'm interested a little bit about your job over at U of L.
Mm-hmm.
and instructing. I guess you must see a lot of people that make it their vocation, or other students that are just trying to get their degree. I don't know.
That's right. Well, you hit the nail on the head. We have a little bit of everything. What I do at the School of Music is I teach percussion, but we also have a trumpet professor and a trombone professor and a clarinet professor, etc. But I focus on the percussion. And I have a whole gamut of students who are interested in different things such as music education or composition or music therapy. And all of those folks have music or percussion in a curriculum. But it's not limited to music majors.
Okay.
I have folks in our steel drum group, for example, who are accounting majors. One guy's in the Speed Art Museum. So it's also an outlet for musicians, even though they're not majored in music.
Yeah. Well, I played trumpet in high school. I never made it past third chair, but, you know, I was on the football team. So
there you go.
You know, it takes all time to make up the band, right?
There's nothing wrong with third chair, buddy.
Well, yeah.
That's right.
If you don't practice, that's where you... I was third chair because there wasn't a fourth chair.
There you go. But you know what? That's the beauty of band. There's always a place for you.
That's right. You know? There's always somebody's got to play the low notes.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
All right, so a little bit about now. I understand that here in Old Louisville, they have really just sort of started this music series on Sunday afternoons,
mm-hmm.
and it's become quite a gathering place. I don't know. Have you been to some of the previous shows here?
I haven't, but I was talking to Sean Williams, who works mm-hmm. here and who's the one that contacted me about playing here, and she was telling me about what all goes on here. She said it's quite a following. It's been received very, very well.
Yeah, I guess it's become a very popular. It's a perfect outdoor venue. And I know she was telling me that the local band, the Crashers, played here right before Derby. They had some 3,000 people, which is hard to imagine. I mean, looking out at the stands, I don't think you'd get 3,000 in there. But they have close to 1,000 people, I guess she said, on some of the regular shows. So
yeah.
I expect you'll have a big crowd out here.
I hope so. And you talk about the seats. I'm looking at around here, and you can bring a blanket and some chairs and make it just fine. She also said there's going to be food trucks here.
Okay.
So come out here and have dinner. Bring your drum. Bring something. Bring a shaker and join us and just enjoy the show.
Okay. So it's the last Sunday in September, as I understand. And it started about 4:30 or so?
Our performance is going to start right at 5 o'clock. We're 5 to 7.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's the last Sunday. It's the September 25th.
Okay.
So whatever that turns out to
well,
be.
Well, there's no September 32nd. So
oh, there you go.
It's
got to
be the last Sunday.
There you go, last Sunday. Because I was thinking there was another event related to this, but at a different location.
Yeah. Well, they have, you know, Sean was telling me that they have different sort of musical performances every Sunday through September at about that same time.
Okay.
So it's become quite a gathering spot, I guess. In your musical career, you play, I mean, you have groups that play in different parts of town or other venues?
Well, our steel drum group is one that gets out a lot. We get a lot of requests for that because it's kind of different. I almost want to say a novelty, although it's not that, but it's just different. So we play at Captain's Quarters out on the river about once a month. We've just finished playing at a private party. We get out a lot with that thing. And So, but it's a, but you know, the thing is we call it, it's part of our world music program. So our students in percussion, we used to be timpani, mallets, and snare and do all that, but more classical oriented stuff. But now the world music's getting into our curriculum. So we're learning about West African groups and Brazilian groups and Caribbean music. As a matter of fact, this Saturday we have a an event where we're playing Guatemalan music on Mexican marimba style kind of thing. So
now, that must be like at night or something.
That's going to be that's going to be in the evening in Elizabethtown. You know,
oh, in Elizabethtown.
But so
okay.
That's another outreach thing that we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure it draws attention. I mean, it's always. I guess you're in a university setting. You're always trying to find new students.
Oh, absolutely. That's right. And we're trying to stay on top of things, too. This world's moving fast. So
it is. Dave, you were saying different instruments. Like, you know, to me, percussion is drums, I guess, tambourines, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of other instruments that I don't know about?
Well, we do. For example, the steel drums or marimbas. You might not know about those. Or it's kind of a big xylophone, but it's a little different sound. Of course, there's marching percussion.
Yeah.
There's drum set, and the snare drum, there's cymbals, tam-tams, there's all these different.
Okay. Now, going back to football, all your students are going to be out there on the field performing, and do you show up over there, or?
No.
Give you a ticket or anything?
No. I used to do that. I said, you know, give it to someone else. I did it for years and loved every minute of it.
Okay.
But really, I'm going back to that focus that I was hired to do in 1998, you know.
And yeah, your background must be interesting. You say you came from Auburn.
Auburn University is where I was teaching college before coming here. I was one of the band directors there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so they know you were around big time football there a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You ever meet Bo Jackson?
Oh yeah. No, well, I haven't. Never met him.
Okay.
But Terry Bowden was there when I was there during those years. It's that town is an interesting town, but it doubles in size really when a football game happens.
Yeah. I've been there. I sort of know about that. Well, what about before that? I mean, you grew up in this part of the country?
I was born in Cincinnati and then moved to Tennessee when I was six. So we would come up here every year to visit and all that kind of stuff. So I'm very familiar with this area. But I married a girl from Louisville.
Okay.
And she's the one that found the job at University of Louisville. And she goes, I want you to apply for that. and so I did. And just all the stars lined up and ended up here. And it's been a great place to raise my family.
Well, you know, that's usually what it is when you ask somebody why you come to a place like Louisville. Well, it was a girl.
It was the girl. It was the right move. It's definitely the right move.
I'm glad it's worked out, and look forward to coming out here and seeing your group perform on this Sunday. Now, of course, it's free to get in out here at the park. So I would think you'd get, you know, several hundred up to 1,000 people.
Let's do it. Let's do it. It's a great place, great way to spend your last Sunday in September.
There you go.
Five to seven.
Well, we'll wrap it up while this plane goes by. It's about the fifth plane and we've had in 10 minutes.
So. Welcome to the marching band world. Where are the trains? There's usually trains coming too.
All right, Greg. Well, it's a delight to have you on the Rusty Satellite Show, and look forward to the performance.
Go Cards. Thank you, sir.
All right, so remember that is Sunday, September 25th at Central Park in Old Louisville for the big drum show with Greg Byrne directing. It's going to be a blast. I think that'll be a great event. But, you know, we can't think about that. We're on football. Football is coming up on Saturday, the biggest game, I would say, ever at the Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. And I hope you're going. If you, it's going to be the place to be. I'm very much looking forward to it. And we'll see how it comes out. We'll talk about it next week on this show, the Rusty Satellite Show. It's brought to you every week by Passport Health Plan and the Eye Care Institute. I appreciate the support of those sponsors, and a reminder that I am involved in a lot of things, and you can keep up with everything that's going on at LouisvilleKY.com, TheRustySatelliteShow.com, EatDrinkTalk.net, and most of the stuff I do, I chronicle on Facebook. You're welcome to get in touch with me. Remember, I'm looking for co-hosts for the show, and would love to hear from you if you have an interest in coming in and talking with me in the studio. You might even get a lunch out of it. I don't know. But that's something we're going to try to do starting very soon. And the last thank yous are from our producer, Dan Vonderhyde, Jackie Bentley, who does a lot of the posting on Louisville KY, and Jason Smith, our excellent web guy who takes care of all the stuff on all my websites. So anyways, a lot going on. I really appreciate those of you who are paying attention and would love to get some feedback from you about the show. I'm getting ready to knock this thing out and get ready for some football this weekend. Hope you are too. Hope you enjoy the show, and I'll be back next week with more of the most interesting people in the Ville.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.